Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what's worse. Donald Trump in the press box talking about how all on the Fox broadcast, talking about how the prices are down everywhere. The eight Dems who buckled when they see a few people. We'll talk about that in the next, or we'll talk about that next segment in detail. Or, and this is probably the worst, not for the nation, but for us, is our quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, proving once again that there is some good, but most of it is bad. Korzenowski in for Chad Hartman today, along with Dave Harrigan. And, you know, it's really been funny the last couple weeks. J.J.'s played really good at the start and then really bad in the middle, and then maybe he'll make one good play at the end. He did it again, right? Mm-hmm. Played really good at the start. They got a touchdown. Then all of a sudden, really bad in the middle. They fall way behind, and then way at the end, he throws that incredible pass into the back corner of the end zone, and Jalen Naylor catch it to get him within one score. But in between, it was all pretty bad. It's starting with the hut, 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 hut. And I'm sitting there at home going, if you remember when the Vikings played the Lions last week in Detroit and how loud it was in there.
Yep.
And they had the ball and they had like one false start. And the Lions actually had three or four last week. And Tom Brady was doing the broadcast. And he said, you know, when I'm home, I don't really like to try to draw the other team off sides because I tend to draw my own team off sides. And I think that's what they were doing. And if that is what they were doing, they maybe should have stopped after like three.
It'd been a good idea.
Or four or five. I mean, they got to eight.
That's incredible.
You know, I thought that J.J. McCarthy, his new persona, nine, mm-hmm. maybe that's what it stood for. Nine false penalties.
Almost got there.
He almost did. He was trying to get there on that. And it was, you know, it's really funny because Kevin O'Connell has got, and I think rightfully so, the moniker of quarterback whisperer, right? And we've certainly seen it. I mean, Kirk played better under him. You know, I'm not saying Kirk's numbers got that much different, but they seem to score more points.
He was much better. There's no doubt about it.
He was better, and then he got. I mean, he got a couple good games out of Josh Dobbs.
Yes, the Pastrnak looked like a star for a couple.
But
weeks.
What eventually happened with the Pastrnak? Is Kevin O'Connell does not adjust to his players. He didn't let that year. The Pastrnak, obviously, you got to just let him run all over the place,
yeah.
right? And let him just be off. He's never going to play on script. And then finally, he obviously, when you remember, they played the Oakland Raiders in the most, it was the 3-0 game. It's hard to forget that game,
mm-hmm.
okay? 3-0 game, and Pastrnak couldn't complete a pass, and he was all in the pocket. So, and I think the same thing is going on with Kevin, with J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy is being asked to do too much. He cannot do what he's being asked to do. Now, Kevin O'Connell's position on that is, I need to ask him to do it so that he, you know, this is what I need him to do. But it's like, you're going to start, and I'll tell you a story. I was in law school. First day, we're doing civil procedure. You have all these rules on how you have to, on stuff you have to do in court with motions and all this. It's very complicated. We don't know anything. We don't even know what civil procedure is. Okay. I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. I decided to go to law school because I was a sports writer and I thought, what can I do where I can make more money? I'll go to law school and then I'll make more money, which I have done.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Not as much money as I thought, by the way. I can tell you that. But
you had to pay for law school.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Well, still doing that. No, I'm actually not. But my so with this teacher, I remember her name, Tahira Lee. She starts on something called Rule 12b-6.
Oh, I love 12b-6.
Now, as a lawyer now, I mean, I know 12b-6 is 12b-6 is a rule that once I file my complaint and I say, here's all the things you did wrong, then the defendant can say, I'm going to bring a Rule 12b-6 motion. I mean, you have to kick out your claims. That's but it's like I'm going to teach you about football, and you know what we're going to start with? We're going to start with what is or isn't interference or what is or isn't a catch, right? No one understands that now, right? I would think you would start and you'd say, there's 22 men on the field at a time. Sure. You have 11 on offense. You have 11 on defense. Then you kick off. Then you do this. You know, I would have thought that maybe in civil procedure, they would have started with the complaint. Here's how you start a lawsuit. You start by drafting a complaint. Excuse me, teacher, what is that? They didn't do it. And that's what Kevin O'Connell is doing to J.J. McCarthy. He's saying, you know, I know you got to do the little underneath throws. Yeah, but you're going to have to hit that window throw down the middle of the field really tight when it's there. And when you see that, you got I'm not saying he couldn't get there eventually. I'm just saying you maybe ought to start a little bit more remedial, okay, with J.J. McCarthy or any young quarterback. And that's not something that Kevin O'Connell is going to do. And I think it's the old cliche. He's throwing him off the deep end into the water and saying, see if he can swim. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. He figures, well, he's drowning a lot. Okay. He's drowning a lot. And it hasn't been very good. I'm not giving up on him. Like I said, when I was on my Sunday show, I said, you know what? I just want to see, this was after the Carson Wentz almost died, you know, almost was a casualty. And I just said, I just want to see J.J. McCarthy play 10 games. Play 10 complete games, and let's see what we got. And so far,
at this point, that's all there is to play for.
And we've got two.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the funny thing is, he has lost since college. He's lost. He'd only lost one game in college, and now he's lost two games as a pro, right, where he started?
Yep.
And guess where they both were? U.S. Bank Stadium. He has more losses at U.S. Bank Stadium than anywhere else in the world. It seems like U.S. Bank Stadium seems to be his kryptonite. He's been pretty bad in those games. And especially, I mean, yesterday with the false starts and all the crazy stuff like that. And also, I said yesterday on my show, the one thing I wanted to see J.J. McCarthy do was not take sacks. And he took one, except for now you're reading in the paper, he should have taken two. Remember when they were at the end of the half, when they threw a pass incomplete, and now they're third down. And they know that there's still going to be time left on the clock because, yep. He was going down with a sack.
Yep.
And he threw an incomplete pass that wasn't grounding because he got out of the pocket, but it stopped the clock. He should have just taken the sack, and then they would have had to spend a timeout, or that really benefited the Baltimore Ravens. So, but I'm saying, I'm just looking for little things from him, and that's one of them. Just that he was getting rid of the ball much quicker. Of course, when you have 22 incompletions, 22. Incompletions. I'd have to look back a long time before you see somebody get to 22 incompletions, because usually when they're getting to be 17, 18, or 19, you kind of stop throwing it. I mean, at some point, but that was not KOC. I'm not giving up on the guy, but it doesn't look great when you see Sam Darnold's team is in first place in their division, and Daniel Jones's team is in first place in their division, and they have two of the best records in the league, and they're both playing great. Now, Daniel Jones happens to have the best running back in the league, who ran for 240 yards yesterday.
That helps.
But I don't know if you saw this stat that came up, and they said right now, Derrick Henry, who's been in the league, 10 years? He's got 12,000 yards rushing. He has the exact same amount of rushing yards as he had in high school. I said, he had 12,000 yards rushing in high school, where you're only probably playing for 4 years, and they said he averaged 315 yards a game.
That's a good number. Wow. Well, I mean, he can throw out the stiff arm still on NFL linebacker. Can you imagine on a high school defensive back playing at, 150 pounds?
He had the one run yesterday. He's going down the left sideline. He's just shedding guys left and right.
I think just he gave one to Harrison arm. Smith.
And they actually did a pretty good job on him. So I'm sticking with J.J. McCarthy. Look, I wanted them to do this. They did it. Let's see if it works. If it doesn't, we can always move on. And when we come back, something I'm not particularly happy with, but I can see their point. Eight Dems went and crossed the aisle and said that we got to end the shutdown. Neither of the Minnesota U.S. senators like it. We'll quote them from the paper. And I'm not sure I like it either, but I can see why they did it. We'll talk about that when we come back. Korzenowski in for Chad Hartman on 830-WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cora Zanowski in for Chad Hartman today. Is he going to be back tomorrow?
He is.
Hawaii, is that what I heard?
Yes, Hawaii. He was on the very late overnight flight last night, so he might even still be sleeping today.
Yeah, that flight. Have you been to Hawaii? I've flown to Hawaii before.
I've not.
You fly back and it's you leave at night and you see the sunrise and set. It's like you're out there forever. It is worth it. I'm going to tell you. You know, I used to say Mexico is just as good. Florida is just as good. No. Hawaii is kind of its own deal.
Yeah,
it really is. It's a great place. I think I've gone three times. I don't know that I go again. But now, if I'm going to get on a plane for that long, I want to go someplace I've never been before.
Sure.
You know, that's if my wife and I are going to spend a lot of money, I want to go. I want to go someplace where they don't speak English. I've said that before. Like when we flew,
Australia is no good for you.
No, we went to Australia because Lisa's daughter was going to school there, so we went over there for 10 days. And I was just reminded of the Lewis Black line when he says, "He goes, if I'm going to be 16 hours on a plane, at least they could do is speak a different language." I felt like I was in California when you're in Sydney. I mean, it just it's a nice, beautiful city. You know, it's got unique buildings, right?
Yep.
But it's. You didn't feel like you're on the other side of the world. You just didn't. I mean, it was cool, but
until you watch the toilets go the other way, blow your mind, right?
That is, that's true. That is true. that did blow my mind. So eight Democrats, and I'm wondering about this. So it looks like the government shutdown is going to occur. They got the 60 votes in the Senate that they needed for the first step. Still has to pass the House. Still, which I'm guessing is a foregone conclusion because I don't think they have that same restriction there. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that it's pretty much going to be there's more Republicans than Democrats, so they're going to get it done. Not many more, but plenty. So that'll get it done since they're doing it on terms that the Republicans offer them. And then Trump would have to sign off on it, which of course he will. So this is basically a done deal, I think. And so I'm kind of curious as to whether the Dems. I'm wondering if the Dems were smart enough to do this. Eight senators in the Democratic caucus broke with the party late Sunday to vote with the Republicans and advance the legislation to end the government shutdown. Three of the eight, Angus King of Maine, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, and Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, have supported the continuing resolution to fund the government since the shutdown began. The five others joined, however, and I believe none of the five are up for re-election. And one, and I think, Tim, I think one of them is retiring. So Senator Angus King of Maine, an independent who caucuses with the Democrats, Mr. King was one of the lead negotiators of the deal. He said many people are being hurt by the shutdown. That pain had pushed his colleagues to support a deal that would reopen the government without extending the Affordable Care Act subsidies. Senator Tim Kaine, we remember him. He was a vice president candidate one
yes.
time, wasn't he?
With
Ferraro? Was that it? Was that the Or was it Hillary?
Yeah, it was Hillary, wasn't it?
Was it Hillary? Mr. Kaine said on Sunday evening that he was backing the deal after securing a provision in the temporary spending bill to reverse layoffs made during the shutdown and ensure that furloughed workers would receive back pay. Senator Dick Durbin, he's retiring at the end of the term. He said the bill is not perfect, but it takes important steps to reduce the shutdown's hurt. John Fetterman, we already talked about. Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, she said that it was time for Republicans to engage in serious bipartisan negotiations. Well, yeah, okay. And on and on and on and on and on. Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada defended her statement while accusing Republicans of weaponizing their power in alarming ways during the shutdown. She cited the withholding of food stamp benefits and reductions in air travel. So that's why Trump did what he did. I mean, when I was filling in for Chad back about a week ago on Tuesday, Trump was backing off of withholding funds on SNAP after the Democrats had publicized that SNAP has essentially a slush fund for this. In my house, you know who keeps the slush fund because she can save money is my wife. Ain't me. So all of a sudden something will come up and she'll go, I got some money. She keeps, and I'm glad she does. She's got a little, so that's the SNAP has that slush fund, right? It's there in case this happens.
Yep.
That people can be fed. Even if it wasn't there, it seems to me inhuman that you withhold those funds. Absolutely inhuman that you withhold those funds. But given the fact that they actually have a fund put aside for this and you don't do it, then that's even more inhumane. And then Trump comes out and says, oh, and by the way, any of the states that go out and do it themselves, like that's what Tim Walz says, right? He says, Minnesota's going to fund SNAP.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm going to punish those states for doing it. I'm going to punish those states for doing it. It's like one thing. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Okay, that's not fine. I'm just saying, you know, but now you're getting it, stopping other people from doing something that's going to help poor people. I mean, it's just so transparent, but it worked. It worked, and he got the shutdown taken off. But it did work because this is, and I'll tell you, Ezra Klein, a columnist in the New York Times, he wrote today, he said, the Dems were winning the PR battle. They were. He says, the polls show that. And he goes, I don't know why they buckle now. I don't know why they buckle. Well, I'll tell you why. And this is the one reason why. Maybe they just don't like seeing poor people not get their food. And they're willing to say, you know what, the hell with it. We're not going to let that happen anymore. I believe the reason those people are doing is that. But do you think it's at least possible that the Dems all got together and said, look, we can't have people out there starving. We can't have half of our airplanes grounded. We can't, you know, all of a sudden a plane's going to crash or something's going to go wrong. We've got to stop this thing. So let's pick out the ones of you that are going to get hurt least by it. You guys go do it, and the rest of us can stand there and act indignant. I wonder if, I don't know if they're that smart to do it.
That's the issue, right?
Or they'd have that much of an idea to do it. But mm-hmm. but now you've got, you know, all the leaders in R2. You know, I think I've got the Amy Klobuchar said, I voted against this budget bill because it does not prevent health insurance premiums from doubling for so many in our state. The president and congressional Republicans should have come to the table to work with us to lower these costs. Smith also opposed the Sunday deal, criticizing the GOP for failing to address an extension of the ACA subsidies in the measure. I will not support this bill that completely fails to help Americans afford their health care, Smith posted on social media. Allowing this to pass is a mistake. So that's where we are. We got the, it looks like it's going to pass. But I mean, here is what Ezra Klein wrote. The guts of this deal are this: food assistance. Well, he says, first of all, he says, over the weekend, a group of Senate Democrats broke ranks and negotiated a deal to end the shutdown in return for, and if we're being honest, very little. The guts of the deal are this: food assistance, both SNAP and WIC, WIC, I was told, will get a bit more funding, and there are a few modest other concessions on spending levels elsewhere in the government. Laid off federal workers will be rehired and furloughed, federal workers given back pay. Most of the government is funded only until the end of January, so get ready. We could be doing this again in a few months. Most gallingly, the deal does not extend the expiring Affordable Care Act tax credits over the Democrats ostensibly shut down the government in the first place. All it offers is a promise from Republicans to hold a vote. He's right. I mean, what they were holding out for, they didn't get. So it's, we'll see what happens. But I'm guessing that we may be around again in January. By the way, when we come back, I'm going to stay on this topic a little bit because Donald Trump is doing something. Remember the big, beautiful bill?
Oh, yeah.
There was a little... You should see what he's doing on taxes, who he's cutting taxes for. I mean, I'll give you a guess. It's not us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cora Zanowski in for Chad Hartman. You can hear me Sundays from noon until, or from 10 until noon. And I'll be on again next Sunday, breaking down the Vikings again and then the Wolves. And well, later today we got Chip in, so we'll talk a little Vikings at the 2 o'clock hour and probably talk a little Timberwolves too, who look like maybe they're kind of coming out of their slumber. We'll see what happens there. A couple of texts here. If Republicans don't fix it by January and people see their bills, it will all be on Republicans. That is what the Democrats are banking on. I think that's probably right. I think that's a good outcome that they probably want. But again, you know, but the Democrats really don't want people having their premiums be high. I mean, they might be high, but people will suffer if that's the case. And maybe it'll lead to a change at the midterms. We'll see what happens. On top of SNAP, which we've been talking about, and where Trump is withholding money to the poorest and the most needy amongst us, while he's also taking money and giving it to the rich. And here's what's happening. He is the anti-Robin Hood, okay? This is from the New York Times. With little public scrutiny, the Trump administration is handing out hundreds of billions of dollars in tax cuts to some of the country's most profitable companies and wealthiest investors. The Treasury Department and Internal Revenue Service, through a series of new notices and proposed regulations, are giving breaks to giant private equity firms, crypto companies, foreign real estate investors, insurance providers, and a variety of multinational corporations. The primary target, the administration is rapidly gutting a 2022 law intended to ensure that a sliver of the country's most profitable corporations pay at least some federal income tax. The provisions, the corporate alternative minimum tax, was passed by Democrats and signed into law by President Joseph R. Biden. It sought to stop corporations like Microsoft, Amazon, and Johnson & Johnson from being able to report big profits to shareholders, yet low tax liabilities to the federal government. It was projected to raise $222 billion over a decade. So what Trump has done, and this is this kind of stuff that really makes it comical to me, even though it's so sad, is there are three branches of government, right? We have the executive, start with the legislative branch, they make the laws. You have the executive branch, they enforce the laws. And then you have the judiciary, they interpret the laws. So Trump is the executive branch. So there's a statute that was passed by Congress that has not been overturned. Congress could go in, the big, beautiful bill could have undone it, but it didn't. So that law is still out there that says these corporations have to pay an alternative minimum tax. And Trump is telling the IRS and the Treasury Department, we're not going to do that anymore. Just ignore it. Ignore it. Let them, in fact, on top of that, let them not pay that tax. There's $222 billion that's going back. And in the meantime, what he's done, and we know what the big, beautiful bill did, it has gutted Medicare, Medicaid, other poor people. So they're literally cutting programs for the poor, and the oligarchs are getting rich with it. They're actually taking the money. They're essentially stealing money and giving it. He's taking it from them and giving it to the rich people, which is against our whole tax plan. We have had a progressive, or it's called regressive tax. Regressive, the less you make, the lower percentage you pay. The more you make, the higher percentage you're supposed to pay. It used to be that way. It was that way in the 70s. It was that way in the 80s. It's not that way anymore because there's so many loopholes that guys like Bezos, and they're making, they'll go from $100 billion to $200 billion, and that extra $100 billion, they'll pay like $223,000 in tax. Meanwhile, some guy making $40,000 a year is paying 12% of his tax every week, every month. And so it's really been a power shift away from how our country is supposed to work to how it is working.
Don, I mean, when he ran the first time, he talked about this. That's how he beat Hillary. You know, we always remember the moment from the debate, right? She's railing about Don not paying tax, and he says, well, I don't because I'm smart, and people like you are the ones who've made the laws that enable me and my companies to find those loopholes and do that. And now he's the man in charge, so now what? Let's just make more loopholes. Let's just make it easier for myself and all my buddies.
It's true. The big, beautiful bill, though, is a different animal.
I mean,
That is a different – look, the rich people – it's really what Bernie Sanders is about. It's what James Tallarico, the guy that keep talking about in Texas, is all about. We need to stop fighting right and left. It needs to be the super rich are right now taking – well, the stat is, I think the top 40 – if you take the 40 richest Americans – and look at their net worth, it is the same as the total net worth of the bottom 40% of the country.
That's absolutely insane.
This is what led to the French Revolution, right? I mean, I say it all the time. You know, when they run out of bread, she goes, let them eat cake like they have cake. That's exactly what Trump's saying. You can't let them eat SNAP. Oh, wait, you don't have SNAP anymore. You know, they're taking away the safety net for the most vulnerable amongst us. And I'm not saying every single government program we have is the right program. I'm saying the concept of this is that they take all this money and then they just funnel it up this upstream instead of downstream. That's basically the grift that Trump has been on for a long, long time. And he's doing it. And the big, beautiful bill was absurd. And people, one guy just wrote in and says, look, he says, oh, here's a good one. You know, don't argue with a lawyer. You know, you really shouldn't argue with a lawyer.
Let's hear it. Come
on. He says, wrong. The executive branch does not enforce the law. The Justice Department does. Guess what? We're the Justice Department in. The executive branch. Go back to school, my friend. This is pretty simple. It's not the president running around and doing it. He has these other departments under the executive branch. The Justice Department is one of them. The Treasury is under. The IRS is under the executive branch. They're all agencies developed to enforce the law. And the thing that makes this even more ridiculous is one of the GOP's standards, and this was a big thing when Trump was first became president, this was a big thing under Reagan, it's a big GOP thing. A big GOP thing is we have too many regulations.
Yes.
We have too many regulations.
Government needs to be out of here.
And then the Supreme Court, when there is a regulation, someone can sue and can say, hey, that regulation, like the Environmental Protection Agency, this happened. They said the Environmental Protection Agency's regulations go beyond the authority given to the executive branch by the statute. It has to be within the confines of what the statute allows. Because the legislature is who makes the law. They're merely regulating it. So it goes to the Supreme Court, who's now going to interpret it. And they have interpreted many of these over the years and said, no, EPA, these regulations are not within the scope of the statute. Therefore, you can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Trump taking and using the regulations to violate the law. So he's doing the same thing that goes, this should go to the Supreme Court. He should not have the right to do this. But for some reason, nobody does anything when Trump does this stuff. Nobody. It's because he's got the wall of the Republicans. So anyway, that's really the worst part about it. One bit of good news today. We heard it on the news.
We got some.
I got is the Supreme Court elected not to go back and look at the marriage. The Supreme Court
same-sex
came out
marriage,
same-sex marriage.
Yep.
Which is, If you poll people in this country, it's like 80% of the people. I don't know exactly, but it's very popular. People are not against it. Most people are like, hey, you're two adults. You're going to be together anyway, right? No one can stop you from living together and saying we're in a committed relationship. I mean, my wife and I were together for like 8 years before we got married. And I said, well, we're still married. I mean, I still felt like we were married. We just didn't. Finally, we went and had a party and got a marriage license. I was the only difference, okay? And that's all they want. And by the way, there are some times when you get married, you have less tax advantage. So we're probably getting more taxes out of them, too. So the point is, no one wants to go back on that. And yet, you know, this went up through the thing. And thank goodness for now, the Supreme Court, you need to have four votes to take a case. It's called certiorari or petition for it's a fancy legal name. But what you have to ask for them to look at it.
Yes.
They don't look at every single case that goes up there. Petition for certiorari. That's what it's called. And, you know, they only take like 10 or 15% of them. So, but all you need is four votes to take it. Obviously, you would need five votes to rule on the decision. So it's not that difficult to get if they wanted to. And I'm just guessing the Supreme Court figures they got their hands full now. You know, they're going to have a lot of the SNAP thing is in front of them now and all this other stuff's in front of them. And by the way, the tariffs, which we're going to talk about later. Yes. Next hour, we do have What's Up with Trump? What's Up with Trump? Let's give you a little. One of the things that's up with Trump is he's talking about a $2,000 stipend for everybody coming out of the tariff money. Mm-hmm. But there was a big case in front of the Supreme Court where the statute under which he is leveling the tariffs, there's question about whether or not that authorizes Trump to do the tariffs the way he's doing them. And it sounded from the argument that the justices, even the conservative ones, were asking the tough questions of Trump's lawyer. And sometimes that doesn't mean they're going to rule against Trump, but sometimes that could foreshadow that. So that's going to – what's coming up next? Sports bars. Sports bars. What makes a great sports bar? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's time for the Lindis Construction Time Check, 1248 here at 830-WCCO. Time to protect your home with clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. Installation labor is 50% off through November 30th, that is Lindis Construction and your Lindis Construction Time Check. You dug up this story for me today to look at, and it's the topic is, what is a sports bar? You know, it's not really a question that needs to be answered. It's like, you know, what do people like to say? Hot dog or bagels or bagels or hot dog or burger or pancakes or waffles. You know what I say about pancakes or waffles? Both are fine with me. They're basically the same. Right?
Yeah, but the pancake is far superior.
Well, I think it is. But I'm not turning down a waffle.
If you're asking me to have a preference, it's clear.
And so, like, what is a sports bar? So so this was Esquire magazine. They asked, what is a sports bar? Are there, for instance, specific criteria a bar must meet to earn this distinction? Number of televisions, number of games, is the bar at an Olive Garden, a sports bar. If you go there to watch the game, blah, 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 blah. By the way, this little stat in there. In case you were wondering, this is out of the article. This isn't a federal. There isn't a federal definition of sports bars. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics did put out a report this year revealing the area with the highest concentration of establishments calling themselves sports bar is none other than St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Hey! How about that? Granite City represent. Well done.
The town of 72,000 people has 10 times the number of sports bars than the average municipality. The Bureau of Labor Statistics.
10 times?
Wow. I'm guessing maybe it's like, I don't know, but I mean, I was up there. There are a lot of sports bars.
College kids love to get out there. There's no doubt about that.
So we were just talking during the break that I generally do not go to a sports bar to watch a sporting event that I really am interested in. Okay? I mean, like, if the Vikings are playing, I'm not going to a sports bar to watch a Vikings game. The exception, and this is a big exception, if I'm on the road, if I'm somewhere out of town and I'm happen to be staying over on a Sunday, and I'll tell you, my experience on this has been outstanding. For example, my wife and I are in San Francisco one year, and they're playing the Giants. The Vikings are playing the Giants in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I find that there is a Viking sports bar in San Francisco. So we, and you know, of course it starts at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So we get there at like 9:30. It was a bar kind of up on the hill. And it was a really nice day, and they had like these, the kind of where you could open these huge doors, the walls were open, so the breeze is coming in. Everyone's wearing a Vikings jersey. I'm sitting at the bar having a bloody, tons of TVs, all Vikings fans. That's ideal. But what more than likely happens when we were out in Carmel, I found this bar, and again, you got to get there at 10 a.m. So we walk into this bar. It was a beautiful bar, very new. They had to have 25 TVs in there. I mean, there were just TV, 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 TV. And it's, you know, about 9:45. The game's going to start in 15 minutes. I said, which one of these games you putting the Vikings in? He goes, that one. Sat right at the bar, right in front of that game. There were some Packers fans behind me. They were looking at the Packers game. Mm-hmm. We had a nice discussion about Aaron Jones. We had just traded for Aaron Jones. And they said, we love Aaron Jones. He's our favorite Packer. But it was that's a great experience, right? When you can find a bar that either is a Vikings bar or one that has the league pass, and you can get them finally, then it becomes essential. I also, with this, a lot of people have YouTube TV, right? And now you have ESPNs on the fritz, or you don't have ESPN
anymore?
Yeah,
all the Disney channels. Yeah.
I remember whatever was the precursor to, it was like Fox Sports North, right? And I would have to go to sports bars to like watch a Gopher basketball game because we wouldn't get that channel.
Sure.
And I remember I was Spencer's, what's his first name, the tight end? He had a bunch of sports bars around town. His wife got...
Joe Sensor.
Joe Sensor. Yes. Joe Sensor in Roseville.
Yes.
And that was the game when the Gophers were in the Big Ten tournament playing Indiana, and Hoffarber, that length of the court pass, and he swooshed that.
Yes.
In that bar. I was in that bar. The bar went nuts. So there are times, but I think a sports bar is one that has to have multiple TVs.
Clearly.
And it has to have the ability to get out of market games. That's the true sports bar.
I think that's a very good start.
Yep.
I think food matters. I think you can have good food, but you can't have classy food. And there's a big difference there.
There is.
There's a big difference. You have to be expecting burgers, wings, you know, selection of sandwiches. But let's calm down on the going a little bit too much
One of the things I don't like about a sports bar is typically when you're talking about a restaurant, and I'm not a big fan of the restaurant, I'll say, it's like a sports bar restaurant. It's like a sports bar restaurant.
Okay.
A sports bar food, which to me means it's like lower quality.
See, I don't think it needs to be lower quality. I think you just need to have the right items.
Right.
They can be very good burgers. They can be very good wings.
Yeah, I don't need sushi when I'm in a sports bar.
No, that's because you shouldn't. Once you have sushi, you're no longer a sports
bar. There was a sports bar in Fort Myers. You know, which is a lot of people from different, you know, there's a lot of people in Fort Myers who didn't grow up in Florida, right? Especially older people, retired people. So you'd go into the sports bar, and it was connected to this golf course we played. Beautiful bar. And they had every NFL helmet around that bar, and they had the league pass, and you could watch every NFL game. Now, that was a great place to go. That was a fantastic place to go. I loved it. But
I think the audio in the bar matters, too. If you've got specifically a local team playing, whether it's the Vikings on a Sunday or a Wolves game or something like that, you got to have the audio of the game.
By the way,
if it's a random Tuesday and you've got, you know, three different games that's not in market, go ahead, play the music. That's fine. But I think you need the audio of the game on over the bar.
You know there's an app for that.
Well, there's an app for everything.
Tunity. You get Tunity.
You use that one?
Well, I used it because we were in this bar and I had the Vikings game on. And like none of the sound was on really any of them because they didn't want to. Maybe it was on one of them. And I take Tunity and you push show the TV and it will then play the sound through your phone.
It's a nice deal.
It is a nice deal. And it sometimes it's a little off. You know, it's a little slow or something, but if you want to, it's something you can do. It works pretty well. One other thing that is critical to a good sports bar, or any bar for that matter, is if you ask them to change the TV, that they have the ability to do it and that they don't look at you and say, well, Jim, you know, Jim's not working today. I guess not. So what we're watching, you know, we're watching Mac football. Really? Mm-hmm. Sorry, Matthew Collar. I know he loves Mac football. but I mean that you really need to have that. I mean, we're like the place I play golf, you know, they got like three TVs in there and they're very good at changing the TVs. Now there's a lot of etiquette to that, right? If I can see that somebody is watching this, or maybe they're sitting there and I'll say, are you watching this? Like maybe I want to watch the golf. Okay. Are you watching this? And it's not golf.
Yeah.
And they say, oh no, we're watching this. Like, okay. And then we can't change it. Right. I know when I went with my brother-in-law, we were at a wedding and we wanted to watch Alabama, Georgia a couple years ago when they were 1-2. And we got to this bar, got right in front of the TV and we said, is Alabama, Georgia going to be on this? Yes. And that was great. Bartender was great. Watch the game, you know, just we're eating food, having drinks. We didn't get to see the end of the game because the wedding was starting, but you know, we had our tuxes on. we had scouted this out. It was like right across the street from where the wedding was in downtown Chicago. So sports bars are essential for that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And a good sports bar, like the TV situation, a lot of them will have it planned out in advance. They will know what games are on that night, which TVs will be on those games. When you walk up to the hostess stand, they'll even ask you, are you here to watch the Wild? Are you here to watch the Wolves? Are you here to watch the New York Islanders game? Whatever's going on. And they will seat you accordingly.
Now,
they don't have to worry about changing the TV.
I had a reverse of that. We were, my wife and I were at kind of a bar with
you guys go out.
Sports bars. This was years ago. and we were trying to watch the Gopher game again. So I was having Gopher game problems. Right?
Sorry to your wife.
And the game ended, but we weren't done with our food yet. And all of a sudden, people started pouring in. Are we out of 50?
We got another minute.
Okay. Pouring in. And all of a sudden, it was MMA.
Oh, so, that's a different crowd.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, I am not. If somebody likes watching MMA, more power to you. I do not like watching two guys beat the living crap out of each other. I just don't. I don't find that entertaining at all. I like boxing in the day, but I don't find that all that entertaining. So let's see. We're done with the first hour, huh?
How about that?
When we come back, the award-winning, right? Overrated, underrated, or properly rated. Korzenowski in for Chad. You can hear me Sundays. On this station from 10 to noon. Dave Harrigan and I will be back when Susie joins us for Overrated, Properly Rated, Underrated.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.